When you need guidance from someone you can truly trust, someone who aligns with your values of sovereignty and natural living, look no further than Dr. Jennifer Tice. Dr. Jen's expertise in homeopathy and naturopathic family care is unmatched. She is my personal go-to when I need an opinion on how to best support my family and myself when we are healing. And something I'm always telling everyone about, Dr. Jen runs a very specific food intolerance test. Having this information has quite literally changed my life once I decided to take it seriously. Knowing what our specific foods were to avoid has radically improved the health of myself and my children. So if you're looking to uplevel your health, head over to drjennifertice.com and you can find her on Instagram at Dr. Jennifer Tice.
Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Women, it is 2025, which means it is time for you to take your place in the sovereign birth movement. I am thrilled to announce that our absolutely groundbreaking, life-changing, consciousness-shifting, super popular program, the Radical Birthkeeper School, is now open for enrollment. This is your chance. We run the Radical Birthkeeper School once a year, so now's the time to jump in. You love this podcast. You're obsessed with birth. You want a better world for women and families. So here it is. I am inviting you to join the 850 women from over 30 countries who have taken this program and now are confidently bringing this work forward, protecting the sacredness of birth, being an option so desperately needed for mothers and babies. From women brand new to birth, to curious mothers pregnant with their first child, to disillusioned midwives and doulas, even OBGYNs and nurses, women are flocking to this new paradigm of birth consciousness, and the Radical Birthkeeper School is the gateway. The RBK School is the place to gain the language and the knowledge to communicate and step into the sovereign birth paradigm with confidence. If you feel the call, answer it by taking your place in the RBK School. Head over to www.radicalbirthkeeperschool.com today to preview the full curriculum, hear from our many graduates, and learn more. Mentorship, sisterhood, lifetime access, the knowledge, wisdom, and guidance you need to take your place in the sovereign birth revolution, all totally unlocked. Be the change. Join us. radicalbirthkeeperschool.com. All right. Welcome, Vanika.
Hi, Emily.
Nice to have you here. Nice to see you again. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this. And thank you so much for having me.
So I met you first through coaching. I think we did a birth trauma debrief, right? Together. Yeah. And then you took the Radical Birthkeeper School. And then you came to MRF. Were you pregnant with your second?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
It was right before.
Okay, cool. Oh, so did you do MRF and then RBK?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I know you have a big story to tell. Yeah, and I'm just looking forward to getting the whole thing out. I never really got to hear about your free birth with your recent child, so that'll be fun. So just take us wherever you want to start with your first. You know, I have some memories of that session, and, you know, for anyone listening, you know, I want to frame this to say, you know, Vanika's going to share an upsetting story that has obstetrical violence, as almost all hospital births do. And it's really important. You know, I'm really grateful to you for sharing it because I want women to know that there are other options. I want women to know that what's happening to them is not unique, you know, that this treatment is commonplace and unacceptable. And, you know, for you to do the work and choose a peaceful birth, you know, in the aftermath of your first birth is just so important. It's so powerful and it's so inspiring. So you start wherever you want to start.
Thank you. Yeah, so when I first got pregnant, I was clueless about birth, especially birth in the system. I did know I wanted to have an intervention-free, natural, medication-free birth. So I hired a doula and I thought, you know, she would guide me and help me process all the options.
And this
And
is taking place in Florida?
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm originally from Switzerland, but we moved here almost 10 years ago. So yeah, I thought she would help me, and I knew I was interested in home birth, but then after reading a horror story online, I was like, never mind. Abandoned that idea again. And then when I told her I was interested in water birth, she said there was not really any option around, like no birth center or hospital would allow you to give birth in the tub. And yeah, so I started compromising on things that actually mattered to me. Yeah, and at that time, I believed that ho the hospital would be the safest option, and I thought that I could still have an undisturbed birth there.
And
Yeah.
why did you think that?
I didn't really see anything that like would speak against it. Like, I don't know. From the birth I heard from my mom and my sister, it sounded pretty peaceful. And also the birth videos that we watched in the hypnobirthing class that I took with my doula, it was as hands-off as it can be, I guess, in a hospital setting. And she said also that the hospital was hypnobirthing friendly, whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. And when I toured the hospital, that was actually kind of funny. They showed me the low intervention room. And then
What's different about that room?
they supposedly like are aware that you don't want to have interventions and try not to, or I don't know. It's kind of like a catch, I think. Make you think
So
that, you
dumb.
know.
It's like it's just another room on the floor.
Yeah. It had like a shitty little bathtub that they showed me, but when I asked, you
That
know,
you're
it's
not
like,
allowed in.
yeah, to labor, but not to birth. And when I asked, why can't I birth in there? She said, because they can't clean it well enough. I was
Oh,
like, you're a
okay.
hospital. Like, what?
Gross. Yeah.
It's just,
Okay.
yeah, it was just an excuse.
Yeah. And obviously, it's a combination of. You don't know. Like, you've never been at a hospital birth. You've only collected what you have from your life, from other people, you know, from the tour, from what your doctor says. And it's hard to imagine that it's going to be what it's going to be because it's so inhumane. No other time in our lives are we treated that way, you know? So I think that that plays a big part of this. You know, I guess we could call it ignorance, right? Like not knowing. It's just not knowing. So, of course you're going to have a natural birth in the hospital. Why wouldn't you? It's like so innocent. And once you know, it's like of course you're not going to, but people don't know and they're lied to and they're set up. You know, the hospital's set up as like a oh yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. And then the hypno class is in cahoots with it, the doula's in cahoots with it, like God, it's just so many things stacked against this innocent first-time mother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what happened. So yeah, I was just getting ready for birth. Everything was good. My pregnancy was perfect, so I didn't really get that much. They were not trying to mess with me there because there was no issues, not even for in their eyes. Like, I had a textbook pregnancy, is what my doula said. Yeah, labor started at home and everything was good, everything was calm. But as soon as we got to the hospital, things just started going south. First, they didn't let the doula in because it was COVID. And yeah, that day, I guess they had the restrictions up for her to not go in. And my husband also wasn't allowed in until I was admitted. So I went up alone. And they gave me forms to fill out. Like, I already had pretty strong contractions. And yeah. And then they hooked me up to the monitors, gave me antibiotics because of my GBS. That was the one thing. And then they brought me to my room, which was supposed to be for COVID patients. They didn't have a low intervention room anymore available.
What do you mean it was for COVID patients?
I guess it was reserved for women who had COVID. I don't know. And it only had a recovery bed, which is going to be relevant later. Like, not a labor and delivery bed, just like, one with a footrest or with a rest on the bottom of the bed, like a railing
Okay.
that you can take off, and then it can just like lift the headrest and that's it.
More like kind of a gurney.
No, it was like a recovery bed, just a
Yeah, can't think of what that means, but okay. So that's a weird start. And quick question about your doula not being allowed. So you had no idea that was going to happen.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
So that's a really big hit of just your team falling
Yeah.
apart upon
She didn't
admission.
either. Like, she came to our home and we all went together. She took her car and then we were all in front of the hospital and they didn't allow her in. And then she just left again. I was laboring. I had a male nurse. He was kind, but yeah. And then at some point, the male doctor that I had came in and did an unconsented vaginal exam when I was on all fours
What
facing the
is that?
wall.
Wait, what do you mean? You're just like, it's just surprise he's inside you?
Well, to be honest, I don't remember the moment. Like, Matt told me after the birth that he did that. And I was like, my heart just sank. I was like, what? So yeah, I was unaware. He didn't like make eye contact and he just like checked me.
But you didn't notice it.
No. I mean, what I do remember is him telling me afterwards, like, you're like at 8 centimeters.
Whoa.
But so he had to check me. But
Huh. Weird.
I
Okay.
didn't like put one and one together at that point. But yeah, it was so, and that was like the first kind of violation. So yeah, I lost really, like, the minute I stepped into that building, I lost the bare minimum of my basic rights, is what I realized later. Like, my birth plan, which was really my medical decisions, it meant nothing. And I had like brought it to my appointments, and all the midwives and doctors who I had seen had, looked at it and told me, yeah, it was good, it was beautiful. Like, nothing was said about it not being okay or feasible or not gonna be respected or something like that. I didn't know I would have to like ask for just like the basic, like, asking for consenting, like him asking me, like making sure I was aware for a vaginal exam. But yeah, that was the first thing that happened. And then when I started the need to push, I just couldn't relax. I was so tense. And I was just like not able to surrender. I was laying on my side and then I wanted to squat. But when the nurse went to get the squat bar, she couldn't fit it on the bed. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Just help. Like, I was thinking that why is she just not helping me squat? Because the bed was soft. I was kind of confined. Like, on the right side, I had the antibiotics, on the left side, the monitor. So yeah. And what I didn't think about before the birth is that I wouldn't even feel like going off the bed onto that gross floor where everybody's walking around with their shoes coming from who knows where, like sick rooms or I don't know. So it was just, yeah, it was confining, and I just decided to go back onto my side, and that's when the monitor went off. The nurse started panicking, and then the doctor rushed into the room, and he looked at the monitor and said, "We have to get the baby out." And he ordered me to lay on my back and hold my breath while I push. And he kept like checking me without, asking. More nurses came in, and they were just standing in the corner watching, which felt really weird. Oh yeah, and one of the nurses lowered the headrest like all the way flat without warning me, and it startled me. And I was laying all the way flat on my back, like not propped up by a pillow or anything. And because it was a bed that, you couldn't remove the footrest or the foot railing, the doctor was like sitting on the bed with me on the side of the bed.
There's this thing in the hospital that a lot of doctors and nurses, I've heard them talk about. The term is called implied consent. And the idea is that by being there, it implies that you consent to what they want to do. It's about as sick as it gets, but I've heard providers say, "Why would I need to ask consent? They're here. This is they're here for this, so it's redundant to ask." It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that was exactly my experience. Yeah. And yeah, he kept like checking me and stretching me. And I didn't know it at that moment. I figured that out like weeks later, but when he was checking me, it was really painful. And that was because he was preparing me for a vacuum extraction and he hadn't like talked to me about it. It was
What
like
do
I
you
was not.
mean he was preparing you?
So later, when I researched, how vacuum extractions work, I saw that one of the steps is that they do a vaginal exam where they feel between the cervix and the head of the baby, like where the fontanelles are, so they know where to attach it, and that can be really painful because they're shoving their fingers in there.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
And you're not on an epidural.
No,
Yeah,
I
so you're
had.
feeling everything.
Yeah, it was. I felt like I was in hell. Laying on my back was like the last thing I wanted. And like everything that they told me to do was just completely opposite to what my body was telling me to do. And yeah, it felt like he was basically pushing her back inside while I was trying to push. And suddenly he said, "I'm gonna have to use the vacuum extractor." And that was minutes before he used it. And yeah, I didn't even feel like I was acknowledged as a person in the room, because he wasn't like talking to me. He was talking to the nurses, and yeah, he announced that to me, but like he didn't explain to me, or he didn't ask me or give me any options. It was presented as like an absolute necessity. Yeah, like if I didn't do that, my baby was gonna die. That was the atmosphere in the room. And my doula was on the phone, and Matt was actually asking her for some guidance because he heard him say that. But she just said, "You have to listen to the doctor." That was her support. The moment when he pulled her out, I don't even remember that part. I just felt completely disconnected from the lower part of my body. It was like he was really far away, but like I was all the way up in my head or somewhere out there. But he was like sitting right next to me, like touching my leg. And yeah, it was just completely dehumanizing and degrading. And yeah, the most traumatizing thing I ever experienced. And when she was born, she was perfectly fine. Like, no signs of distress whatsoever. Apgar of 9, if that, whatever that means. But yeah, I mean, and then they laid her on my chest and tried to rub her down, and we told the nurse to stop, and she just chose a different spot to keep rubbing. And I couldn't even greet her properly because they wouldn't let me have that moment. They just kept rushing on with their procedures. Fundal massage, they gave me Pitocin, and he was stitching me up for quite a while for a first degree tear. That was the birth.
So sorry.
Thank you.
So upsetting. Like this is so many women's initiation into motherhood is to be degraded and humiliated and wounded. It's just like, when's it gonna stop? I mean, you made it stop, obviously. One and done. Like, you learned and didn't go back. Thank God, you know. So then what happens? Like, I'm curious about in the immediate aftermath, because every, woman kind of handles this differently. Are you like, he saved my baby? Like, did you fall for it for any period of time? When do you start to question it and understand that you were just, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'll let you answer it.
Well, part of me definitely wanted to believe that he saved my baby.
Yeah.
But immediately after the birth, I just felt shaky and wired and like weepy. I was just like crying a lot and trying to like understand what happened. I couldn't sleep even if the baby was sleeping. And I spent a lot of time researching low heart rates and vacuum extractions, like obsessively. And yeah, I pretty quickly felt like, that just felt really wrong. And I had a phone call with my doula a few days later. And I asked her, why they didn't ask for my consent. And she said, basically what you just mentioned before, that the minute I signed those papers when I got to the hospital, that was my consent. And I felt so flabbergasted why she would believe that that was okay, really.
There's no such thing as consent. Like,
Yeah. Then
it, like
why did I?
an abuser doesn't ask for consent. This is what's so, like, women need to understand this, Like, an abuser doesn't look in your eyes and say, "Do I have your permission to abuse you now?" Why would they do that? That's not how it's gonna go. Ugh. But there is this, like, again, what we said at the beginning. It's understandable when you don't know the truth to assume that in 2020 or whatever it was, that you were going to receive humane care. Like, that
Right.
is an under, you're not an idiot that you assumed that,
Right, yeah.
It's just there's such a big discrepancy of what we assume and how bad it actually is that, we've got to get hip to. Before these stories happen, right? Obviously. Yeah,
I
so
mean,
your
like,
doula just like sucks and is just like a part of the whole thing.
yeah, I mean, it really upset me after that phone call. I was in tears and I was just like, why would you help me write a birth plan then? Or like any of those things?
Ugh, yeah, it's so out of integrity.
Or why did I bring my music and my lights? Like, fuck that. I just want like basic respect.
Yeah.
And she also said that if I would have done the hypnobirthing breathing, my baby would have maybe had more oxygen.
Stop it. Stop it. She did not. Ew.
She also
That's
said
a.
I was loud and I don't know. It was just, I felt really
She like critiqued how you
pissed.
were in the birth process while you were being abused. Oh my God. That's really sick. God. Okay. So double whammy.
Yeah.
So obviously, okay. So you hang up from that call, and that sucks. I'm assuming you stop turning towards her after that. So then what happens?
Yeah, just I went into a really dark place. I kept replaying what had happened over and over. I had flashbacks. I wasn't sleeping. I had intrusive thoughts. I felt like I had, failed, and I had like a lot of overwhelming rage and grief. I just at first I really wanted to believe that they, yes, it was not okay for them to not ask me, but still kind of wanted to believe that they saved my baby. So did my husband, but I deep down just felt like, okay, I'm not sure about that, and I wanted to have answers. I wanted to figure it out. So I ordered all my records, the fetal heart rate monitoring strip, and I was researching and contacted a human rights advocate to write a complaint letter to the hospital, and also had an independent OBGYN who looked at the monitoring strip, confirm that, it was indeed unnecessary and that she had been fine. Which I, looking at it, I kind of thought that, but I'm not like an expert in looking at those monitoring strips. So I just wanted that confirmation, and it was validating, but also absolutely like devastating to keep facing that truth that it was all unnecessary. It was just, yeah, it was really hard. It absorbed, I like, yeah, it absorbed all my time and energy. And then also caring for a newborn. And that process was, it was just overwhelming.
How does the hospital respond?
It was really hard to like get them to respond at all. And I was like, I was persistent. I kept calling and writing emails. I wrote that letter with that advocate, and they just wanted us to go away, really. They were ignoring us a lot, and then, once they realized that we're not going away, they just tried to say whatever, like act as if they cared and to make us go away.
So, did you ever press charges?
I was thinking about it, but then as I was like contacting lawyers, who are, by the way, just as gaslighting as the doctors, the midwives, my doula, my therapist, even like, yeah, myself, like I was gaslighting myself a little bit, but all of them were gaslighting me. And yeah, the lawyer said that there was no case. They were not gonna win that case, so they were not gonna take it.
I mean, that's not necessarily gaslighting, right? Like, that's
Right,
just
yeah.
kind of the truth.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. No, I meant gaslighting in the fact, like, yeah, basically, but you went there, he didn't assault you.
Yeah, I mean, this happens, right? With women all the time, where well, when birth in the hospital is inherently violent and rooted in sexual assault, it then becomes normalized. And so it's then just perspective. It's like, well, everyone's more or less getting treated the same. They're all getting sexually assaulted, but only a couple of them realize it. And then you go see a therapist about it. She's as traumatized as you are, or he, like she had the C-sections because they lied to her. Like they're all a part of the same system. They're all brainwashed. So it can feel impossible to find anyone to speak the goddamn truth to you.
Yeah, I found it really hard to wrap my brain around the cognitive dissonance that I was observing in people. Like on one hand, they were acting as if, those normalized procedures were okay, and they were dismissing it, but they were at the same time admitting that it was rushed and probably or possibly unnecessary. So it was just like yeah, mind fuck.
So how does this affect your life and your marriage over the next year or two as you're processing all of this?
It was really hard. Like I said, I was like overtaken by rage. And just, I was crying a lot. My husband had to help me a lot with the baby. Like I was barely able to take care of myself, and he couldn't work as much as he would have. And yeah, it affected our relationship. It, like r the ripple effects were visible, or I could feel that it affected my whole family, really. Well, I did. I wanted to say that I did go back to that doctor, unfortunately, at the beginning, because I wanted to have answers. And he was gonna check my stitches, and then he did a pap smear without asking me. It was just like, another violation, like another unconsented thing to continue that normalization of, those unconsented procedures, I guess. I don't know. He was acting like there was nothing wrong with that. And then he was all over the place with his answers. He didn't even remember if I had an epidural or not. So yeah. And when we were discussing, I told him that maybe for the next birth I would like to be in the water, and he was like, nah. And he didn't really believe that that helped at all. And I was like, how do you know? And his answer was, because I read more than you. So that really showed me what he thought of me. Like, I'm this stupid little woman.
Every way that he treated you showed you that.
So yeah, I wanted to burn the whole world down. And when I was talking to that human rights advocate and writing the complaint, which was taking up a lot of my energy and also, wasn't cheap, I still thought that that was like some sort of mistake. Like, it was just this like one doctor who was like, a bad apple type thing.
Oh, geez. You didn't realize this was just obstetrics.
Not yet, no. It took like the process took me a little bit,
Yeah. Well, why would you, you know? Why would you know? You know, it's kept so sneaky, so apart from all of us. And then, you know, women are birthing alone in these rooms. And then going home all traumatized and barely can find space or energy to talk about it. And then when they do, they're gaslit and it's all, you know, internalized. And so it's how it's allowed to continue.
I totally agree. I didn't I with time I then realized that they didn't want any feedback, and I realized, no, that was not a mistake. That is actually how they want it to go. And
Yes,
yeah.
of course, in every way. I was at a birth one time, a very long time ago, back in my doula days, where the mom was doing great. She had begun to push. She was in the stirrups, you know, like a good girl. And the doctor comes into the room, didn't say anything to the woman. It's the first time that we're seeing the doctor. She wasn't a part of the birth at all up until this point. And the doctor walks in holding a vacuum extractor, and she looks up at the clock, doesn't even acknowledge the mother who's splayed open with her vagina out, you know, working really hard with the nurse and me, I guess. Anyway, this woman walks into the room, looks up at the clock, and then looks at the nurse and says, "I have to pick my kid up in 30 minutes." And then she walks over, sits on the stool, puts the vacuum on, pulls the baby out, you know, and then rips the placenta out and stitches her up and leaves within 30 minutes. It's like, yeah, right. Like, how interesting. That woman was even honest that it had nothing to do with the mother. It was that she needed to go pick her kid up. And this is just, yeah, of course, sure.
Sick.
It's
So sick.
so sick. It's almost hard to conceive how deeply evil it is, unless you've lived it or seen it, you know, hundreds of times. Okay, so then what?
I had no idea that that's how much it could affect me. Like, I thought, I kind of thought of birth as a means to an end before. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get through it somehow. I didn't realize how much the environment and the people during my birth could affect me and what consequences that could have. Because I mean, there were moments I thought, oh, I'm never going to feel okay again from that. And I felt so much grief not having experienced birth the way I felt in my bones it should be. I felt like, yeah, I was robbed of that. And yeah, I knew in my soul that birth shouldn't feel that way. And I knew I wanted to have another baby, but I needed some more time to process it. And then about 1.5 years after the birth, Matt found Free Birth Society podcast, and he suggested it to me. And then At first, I thought, yeah, free birth is a little extreme, but the more I learned, I knew that that was exactly what I wanted.
It's like funny, right? That it's extreme. Like doing it without abusers is not extreme. It's actually extreme to go to the hospital and allow them to do whatever the fuck they want to you and your baby. That's pretty hardcore. But obviously we're trained to do it, you know. It's just like actually that's really extreme. But I understand, of course. Everyone thinks free birth is crazy at the beginning. So you hear it, you start listening. That's 1.5 years postpartum, and then what happens?
We purchased the complete guide to free birth and started listening to it even before I got pregnant. And then soon after, I booked that integration session with you. When you said, like, when you called it for what it really was, rape, I was like, yes, thank you. It felt so validating. And yeah, because the gaslighting and the bullshit I heard from other people was just like another layer of crap I had to deal with after the
Totally.
abuse.
Like, if that's not rape, what is? You know? I mean, people really need to think about that because sometimes when I talk about obstetrical violence, sexual assault, rape in birth, yeah, people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But do you think rape only happens with a penis? Like, of course not. The FBI definition on their website is something like using instruments, fingers, or genitals to penetrate another body. It's something like that. Because, of course, that's what it is. And if we don't call it what it is, it gets to continue. Like, if he didn't have a white coat on, we could call it rape. Like, if it was at a party and he did the same thing, oh, it's because there's a baby involved. It can't be rape. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's such a nonsensical way to diminish the everyday violence that's occurring to women's bodies and their babies. Okay, so I'm glad I validated the obvious.
Definitely, yeah. And at that point, I learned about the Radical Birthkeeper School. But at this point, I didn't feel like I was ready for it yet because I knew it would be quite hard for me to walk with women if I couldn't have that free birth myself that I so deeply desired. Like, I felt like it would be too painful at that point in time where I was at to support women in that and witness it or yeah, hear about it. It was hard, yeah. But I did feel the calling to support women. So yeah, I would say that through that trauma that I experienced, I was called to birth work. It ignited my passion for birth work. And then as soon as I got pregnant, I signed up for the Birthkeeper School. And it was just so sweet to do that in my last trimester to participate in the classes while being pregnant. It was just perfect. I was still at first I was still worried about possibly having to go back to the hospital for, any reason. And I was worried that he would be there. And I was so relieved when I heard that he lost his privileges or he didn't have privileges at the hospital anymore. And I kind of like to believe that I had something to do with that. And I just really enjoyed, being able to do what I wanted to do during my pregnancy, not having to worry about appointments, just tune in and prepare, nourish myself. And yeah, it was just another blissful pregnancy. I was trying to soak it up as much as I could. And it was quite a funny coincidence that the day right after the Birthkeeper School ended, I went into labor.
Cute.
And
Got y'all juiced up for it.
And one of the women who did the school with me, Tatiana, she led a song circle that day, an online song circle that was just a really sweet beginning of labor.
That's sweet.
So yeah, it was a Saturday morning and we had a relaxed family day. After I put my older daughter to bed, I wasn't able to sleep, but I was just laying there listening to Yolanda's pain dissolution meditation over and over. And yeah, just going with the flow. And at about 2 a.m., I couldn't like lay there anymore and woke Matt up, and he went to fill the pool and he brought me food and drinks and blankets. And we had salt lamps throughout the house, just very low light. And yeah, I was just moving around. I went outside because it was actually a quite nice night, not too hot, not too warm. And I was watching the trees kind of sway in the breeze. It was kind of trippy. It kind of reminded me of an ayahuasca ceremony. And I had a candle lit and listening to my free birth music. It was just really peaceful and calm. And yeah, when Matt, did all what he could do to like help me, I just told him to go back to bed because it was kind of nice not having anybody around. Like I felt like I was holding back a little bit because I knew he was around. Like even though he was not like sitting right next to me or like watching me or anything, I just felt like he could turn the corner anytime, and I didn't feel like I could quite let go as much as I wanted, just moving and vocalizing. So it was really nice to be able to just like drop deep, like into myself and like, yeah, just focus inwards. So I was like switching between rooms. I was in the living room and like walking around, laying down, and I was able to nap between the sensations. That was really sweet. And just the music and the swaying, it was just perfect. And I did what I had like learned in Yolanda's portal about pain. Like with every sensation I didn't like try to push it away. I went like right into that pain and focused on it. And it felt like work, but at no point did I feel like I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, and with the breaks that I got, I was really good. I was in a perfect space. And then suddenly, I felt like I needed to push, and I was like, "Oh, already!" Like I was kind of surprised because it was not that intense. So I went and got Matt and Amelia, and they just had gotten up, or they had just woken up 5 minutes ago, and he went and scrambled to fill up the pool with more hot water. I ran to the bathroom. I mean, ran, waddled. It
Yes,
was
not a lot
really
of
hard.
running.
Yeah, it was really hard to walk at that point, I realized. And Amelia got like a little worried at first, like she didn't know what was happening, but when we explained it to her, she calmed down immediately and just was watching and helping. And then I already like felt the head, and Matt was like still filling the pool. And then I got in. And I had like a moment of doubt, and that's when I called Yolanda, who I had asked to be my virtual support. And she was just so gentle and calm and reassuring, like she always is. And yeah, it reassured me. And yeah, she reminded me to trust and surrender. And Matt had to hang up on her because the baby was coming, and I caught her. By myself. I loved that part too, just being able to catch her by myself. And then I was like awkwardly holding her, realizing that she was like really slippery, and that it was not that easy to not drop her back in the pool. Yeah. And it was just perfect, like the way I had imagined my birth to go. And it was simple, and we relaxed in the pool until I felt I was ready to move to the couch. Yeah, about an hour after the birth, I felt like, okay, it's time for the placenta to come out. And I was able to birth the placenta without problems. And I kept it in a bowl until the evening and just relaxing with Leanna. It was just magical. Really. And then in the evening, at sunset, we went into the backyard and we did a cord burning ceremony. And that was also another part that felt really sacred, like just being able to do that with no rush and no intrusion, and yeah, just the peacefulness of it all. But at that time I was ready. It was like the cord is cold in the bowl, I have to switch it for nursing. And yeah, it was a good moment. And I had different options, because I wasn't sure if I was gonna, be bothered by the smell, or I mean, if any of us was gonna be bothered by the smell, burning the cord. But yeah, I liked. No, yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, and I liked not having the plastic clamp on the cord afterwards. That was nice. Yeah.
So what would you say that having your free birth gave you or gave you back after your first birth? Like, how has it shaped you and changed you?
It was just the last piece I needed to heal and to actually feel like whatever all happened to me was really as it, I guess, should have happened. Like I felt whole. Like I felt whole again, and I felt proud and, confident. I felt like there was something that came out of all that, because I felt that if I wouldn't have had such a traumatic birth, I might not have had the push to come to that realization that what I wanted is free birth, if that makes sense.
A lot of women say that.
Yeah. So I was really thankful for that, in a weird, like in this type of way, I was thankful for my journey.
Well, and because you chose to learn and like do the work, you know? Like, I always get weird when people are like, everything happens for a reason. It's like, yeah, I don't know about that, but you can make there be learning. You
You're
can
right, yeah.
make there be transformation from darkness, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else you want to share before we close?
Yeah, I would also say that my experience taught me the sacredness of birth, and that it's not just physical, it's deeply spiritual and emotional. And yeah, women are born with the knowledge of how to birth their babies, and they can if they're given the space to do so. That's what rings really true for me.
Of course. True for all animals, right? Not just a means to an end, but something to really protect and allow. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to see you and talk to you and share my story with you.
I'm proud of you.
I appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, the Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars. Consciousness.